Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back Tara Holwagner from LCE. Welcome back, Tara.
Thanks. Thanks for having me again. I'm excited to talk about competency development.
Yeah, that's a very interesting topic and vitally important to organizations is to making sure they have the right competency within that organization to deliver their strategies and goals. Now, for those that may not be familiar with you, you are a learning subject matter for the Lifecycle Institute, the learning, leadership, and change management practice at Lifecycle Engineering. You have extensive experience in not only designing and delivering learning and performance improvement solutions, but also in maintenance and reliability.
I do. I'm a CMRP. I got my certification 2 years ago, and I'm a certified learning professional. And we call my title is learning subject matter expert, but I really feel, especially in dealing with our clients and organizations and some of the professional organizations I work with, we're really moving more toward performance improvement. And so, because if you think about it, when you are developing a people or sending someone to training or wanting someone to improve or learn how to do something new in a different way, that's all about learning. That's all about learning and change. And that's what we believe at the Institute. So that's why Lifecycle Engineering actually built the Institute, was to have a human performance focused line of the business. And that's how the Institute came about.
You know, Lifecycle Engineering itself has been around since the mid-70s, starting off with the Navy and growing ever since. So you guys have a lot of experience to build that human performance, if you will, change into any aspect of your business, whether it's maintenance reliability, whether it's project management, like we've talked about in the past. You guys bring a lot of experience to the table to help organizations move that stuff forward.
That's right. That's our mission.
Now, you know, you talked about competency and we mentioned it a few times, but what I want to talk to you today about is how do organizations use competency development as a competitive advantage? But first, before we can get into that, what is competency and how does it differ from capability or skills?
Competency is actually the intersection of capability, or let's just say knowledge and skills, and the level of ability or proficiency. So competency, look at skills as like a facet of the three things that competency involves. So competency is knowing how to do something, having the ability to do that thing, and then having the proficiency to do it really well. So when you have true competency and proficiency in an area, that means that during times of stress, during times of emergency, also when nobody's looking, when you quote unquote don't think that it matters, that you're doing the right thing in the right way. Competency also has a meaning for organizations in that it is the collection or collective skills and abilities and pieces of knowledge that organizations want to define when they are describing a certain role or a certain level of responsibilities. It gives you a language that you can use to say, all right, this is what I want for example, a maintenance planner and scheduler to be able to do, and I want them to be able to do this certain task or skill at this level. So it gives us a framework. We can decide what we want our people to be able to do. It also helps us in terms of recruiting and in terms of finding and talent, because we now know specifically at what level of performance are we needing our people to achieve.
Yeah, so understanding competency and having all that definitely helps with recruitment. I think as an employee, having that clearly laid out, here's what we need from you in terms of deliverables, performance, that just lets you know exactly what you need to deliver and how you can over-deliver if you want. It makes it clear. There's no ambiguity.
Right.
There.
Yeah, it sets expectations, and it's a motivator.
Absolutely. If I know what my goals are, I'm going to work to achieve those. But if I'm not sure what my goals are, well, maybe I'll do something over here, maybe I'll do something over there. So, excellent.
It can be frustrating and confusing. Yeah. So, as a noun, it's the intersection of knowledge, skills, and level of proficiency. But as a tool for the organization, it's a framework for which you can help your people grow, but also give them the expectations that they need. And clearly, state, you know, out there when you're turning that outward into, you know, job or perform or role description to be able to get the right people.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how else can organizations use this competency development as a competitive advantage? We can identify the right people to hire, give them their performance measures, but what else?
It's also a strategic tool for the organization, because if you know what your business plan and what your goals are for the next 3, 5, 10 years, then you can also develop a competency framework or your competency needs so that you know where, how your people are going to have to develop, or what kind of knowledge, skills, and ability are you going to need that you may have, so then you just need to augment it, or that you maybe don't have because maybe some of your business plans include some pretty big transformations or some pretty big technological changes, where you're going to have to understand the levels. I don't like to say gap analysis. It seems to be just ubiquitously used everywhere, but you need to know the performance level that you're going to be expecting for your people, 3, 5, 10, if you can project what those are going to be, so that you can grow from within, so you can hope grow it, or that you can acquire it and then proliferate. So just to talk about that, you know, as how it can be a strategic tool. And you can turn that into a competitive advantage, because once your people have skills that they need, have their learning paths that they need to achieve their individual goals, but that's going to help your business achieve the business goals. You'll be able to operate better, faster, cheaper, smarter. Your people are going to have the ability to change. They'll develop a resilience. They'll be able to grow and to change more resilient when changes come their way, whether that's a change from the outside. It may require that your operation adopt a new regulatory measure or something like that, or whether that from within. It's a culture of problem solving, a culture of knowledge building and of sharing that intellectual capital. You know, one thing that my boss, Bill Wilder, says, which I often coin as well, is that your people are the only asset that appreciate over time. If you have this culture where you're investing in your people, you set skills, knowledge, expectation, they're growing your people's competency, then you're going to allow that knowledge capital to grow, and you're going to build an organization that is a learning organization that is able to move along with the times, that's able to help you reach and exceed your business goals, even develop some and innovate, you know, some new products, business goals, what have you, that they can actually support. Then you have your self-directed workforce. Not only that, I we talked about it just a second ago, but if you are known out there as an employer and as an organization that invests in their people and that has the most capable, change resilient, and, you know, stars in the organization, you're going to be able to attract more talent, but you're also going to seed more trust from your clients, because your clients are going to know that the organization is doing what they can to make sure that their people have the knowledge, skill, ability, and proficiency to not only do their individual job, but an organization is just a collection of individuals. So if the individuals are performing at their best, then the organization is going to collectively be performing at its best.
Yeah,
and if you're able to project that competency into the future of, well, what does my business plan need and what competencies, if you're able to make learning and competency development part of a strategic look, that your leadership views it as a strategic component, I guess, of reaching your organizational strategy, then you will be able to sustain that high performance at the individual and at the organizational level.
Yeah, and you touched on a couple key points there. The strategic level, the organization has to make a decision to, you know, invest in the competency development of their people. It doesn't happen just by happenstance. It is a thought out, organized, driven process, correct?
Absolutely.
Good. So if we have an organization who decides this is what we want to do, we want to drive and develop competency within our people so they're on top of the changes coming within the industry and all those great things,
mm-hmm.
What role does the individual line manager have then in that competency development?
So in change management, which is at the Institute, we say learning is change and change is learning, because anytime you learn something new, you are being asked to change how you have done something previously, and you're going to learn how to do it in a different way. So that's at a micro level, the change. That's what the change management. I'm not talking about configuration management. I'm talking about the people side of change. I'm talking about human behavior. And what the research tells us, ProSci, which is one of the leading research in organizational behavior and change management, what their research tells us is that the individual's direct supervisor has the greatest impact on moving the individual, helping that individual get through a change. ProSci has an individual change model called ADCAR, and you move through it, and it's awareness, desire, knowledge, ability, and reinforcement. So where learning and competency comes in, it's that knowledge and ability. It's giving people the knowledge so they have the ability to change their behavior. But first, they have to be aware of why do they want to change, and then they need to reach the desire point of change, and the person that can most directly impact that desire to change, that, okay, I'm willing to go to this training and try these new skills, I'm willing to give this new thing a try, is the direct supervisor. So they have a FaceTime, they have the direct connection with the individual who's going to be learning something new. They also need to understand how it's going to impact them. And the line manager, you know, is the person right there that's going to let them know, hey, here's why I want you to do this thing this way. This is how it's going to benefit you. And I'm behind it, because if you have a line manager that doesn't support the change, new skill, the new way, the new process, whatever it might be, then that individual isn't going to be given much of a chance to try to practice the new behaviors. So we have a process at the Life Cycle Institute that we call 3A Learning. It integrates these concepts of change management, you know, the ACAR, but also the science of learning. And what does it take for someone to actually gain knowledge and learn? And so we take those two concepts and we put it together in a model we have called 3A Learning. You can find out about it on our website, on the Institute website, under High Impact Learning. But basically what it means is that we have that line manager, the learner, the person who's going to go into training, and they work together to figure out, okay, you know, what is this knowledge and skill that I need to learn how to do? Where am I going to go learn it? You know, am I going to go to a formal training class? Am I going to be working with a mentor? Am I going to read a book? Am I going to take some e-learning? You know, how am I going to learn that knowledge or skill? We call those knowledge or skills learning objectives. What am I going to do with it once I have this learning event? And then what does that mean to the organization? How is me doing this thing in this new way, how is that going to impact the business in a positive way? How is that going to help my organization meet the goals? So not only does a line manager understand the investment that they're going to be making in that individual's competency development, but the individual, the supervisor, and heck, you know, the plant manager can also see how that investment, how that learning event, and how that person gaining this new knowledge and skills, then when they act on it in the workplace, what's the direct line of sight to, you know, a business goal? For example, you know, trying to improve OE, or just trying to stop a particular bad actor from making trouble.
Yep, absolutely.
So through the 3A process, we do see that by integrating that learning and those change management methodologies, we can see that the greatest impact, the greatest chance we have of somebody moving their learning from the classroom into the environment is going to be driven by that line manager. But what's behind that is the understanding about how it's going to benefit the individual and the organization.
Yeah, there's multiple steps there. They need to, like you said, use the ADCAR model and create that awareness, knowledge, mm-hmm. desire, all those things to make sure that the employees are going to not only learn the stuff, but they're going to apply it and start using it.
Yeah, but it's got to be lined up. Yeah, exactly. It's got to be lined up, though. It all has to fit together. You're not going, like, there's a lot of training we have to do because it's mandated, right? It's regulatory. There's a lot of great best practices for that. There's a lot of really good mandatory training out there. But what I'm particularly talking about is discretionary training, is the capability training or the competency training that you select that is an elective for you. So, you know, don't choose the ones that the individual is going to go to just because he wants to go to Boca Raton, you know, and go to a class. But, you know, think about the learning objectives and the knowledge and skills that individual is going to learn. Why do you want them to learn that? You know, you should almost have a business case for why you want to go to the trouble and the expense of having an individual learn something new. Because they need to come back and do something with it.
Exactly, or it's just a waste of time and money for everyone.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio.
be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Now, for people who are trying to develop the competency of their people, what tips or words of wisdom do you want to share with them that they can implement?
I would go back to have a plan. You need to look, follow the 3A process. There's a reason why we created it and had it trademarked, because it gives you an opportunity to think about what is your objective? What are your learning objectives going to be? So what? Now what? If you have this person learn that thing, so what? What are they going to do with it? And then it also gives you an opportunity to vet training vendors and to vet training opportunities, because if you know what you want, if you just choose a class that has a title, then you're not really sure if you're going to get to those core things, those core deliverables. Why not just say it, the deliverables that you need to get from the training. If you go into it with a plan, you're not going to be distracted by marketing language of a course, because you know what you want your end result to be.
Yeah, absolutely. If you, like you said, understand the learning objectives, make a plan when you're going in. So here's what I'm going to do with this stuff once
I
learn it.
Yeah, exactly. And then here's what it's going to do. Here's, once I do this, you know, 30, 60, 90, 120 days, however, you know, long it takes, it'd be great. And what we espouse in our model in 3A Learning is have at least one goal. You know, do 1 to 3 goals. Don't do too many after training, but at least one of those that you will be able to see some sort of result within 90 days. Because if you have too broad of goals going into a learning event, you're going to get tired and you're going to get demotivated, and it's too far away. You still need that line of sight between what did I learn, what did I do, and how did that somehow contribute to my department's goals, site goals, company goals, what have you.
Yep, absolutely. All very important stuff. Now, what's the one thing you see commonly done incorrectly with competency and capability planning? What are we missing? Well, how can we get better at this for the future?
Honestly, it's not done very much, Jay, I don't think. It's just, I think that there are budgets and there are high level training that it seems right intuitively, right? Like it seems right to send people to certain training, even learning objectives. It seems like these professions need to have this learning objective. I would challenge that if you can connect more to the business needs and work with somebody that has a visibility of, you know, what is needed now, but what's also needed 3 years from now. And we talk a lot about learning path and a lot about, and competency development, you know, even the title of this podcast, like competency development, it's bigger than just, well, what's your training plan? You know, it might be a training plan, but it's other stuff too. And you need to begin with end in mind, but also begin with bigger, cast a wider net that's connected to your business goals, and start with the business goals and then back up from there. And that would just be where, because we intuitively think we intuitively know, oh, well, you know, this person, you know, this role needs to go to a facilitating more effective meetings class, you know, because none of our meetings are very well managed and we're wasting a lot of time. You know, well, that's a stopgap measure. Yep, important to do. But also when you're talking about from a broader perspective, well, what are the core knowledge, skills, and abilities that we're going to need in order to, you know, meet our, you know, we want to increase production by 20% on this new product because of customer demand. So how are we going to build a loss elimination program that's going to allow us to do that, because we're losing half of our product, you know, every whatever, you know, whatever that might be. So, you know, how are we going to build the competencies so that we can, you know, drive that transformation and build a loss elimination culture so we can meet our production goals? So thinking creatively like that, start with the business goals and then back up from there.
And with that, I'm assuming the competency development also ties into some succession planning along the way, and not just what do they need now, but the future, succession,
exactly.
All that.
Exactly. And those are for the individual, right? And what we see out there is best practice now, especially with large organizations that have the resources to, you know, have like a corporate university or have a corporate learning center or a knowledge base. People are moving away too from the concept of like corporate university and going to something more user-driven and more individualized, a lot of user content creation things. So there's a lot of trends out there. But one thing that we are seeing more of is even on home pages, individuals, like personal pages, that they have visibility, what their role is, and then what some potential direct succession plans could be so that they can actually select learning opportunities that might get them closer to that, and they're targeted. And they can, and then the individual is actually making the choice to engage. So, you know, that's out there that some organizations that are doing that are gaining some traction.
Absolutely. And it's, like you said, it's user generated. The users are pulling for it. Mm-hmm. You have that desire to learn by the users, and it's much easier to implement that change and increase that competency level if they're asking for it and pulling for it. Now, we covered a lot of great stuff around competency, what competency looks like, how do we develop competency. What is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation that we've had today that they can go back and implement?
I would love for folks to take a look, because we talked about 3A learning and about being intentional. 3A learning can be for those short-term, you know, stopgap needs like we discussed, but it could also be a philosophy for the larger initiatives, and it's so it's scalable. So I would like for folks to consider looking at using a 3A process. We have a tool that we use in the 3A process called a learning impact map, and we have, you know, templates for it and stuff online. So I just encourage people to give it a try and to see in a one instance how that changes and how they get more results, how that changes the way that they look at the next learning opportunity that they're going to give to their team, but also after the training, how following a process like that impacts people's ability to try that new skill and maybe some results that they get that they may not have gotten if they would have just organically sent someone to training and then didn't really do any follow-up, didn't really have any intent, but just try it and see how that impacts the individual and hopefully the business in a positive way.
Yeah, that is great. And we will make sure to include the links to the 3A learning process, high impact learning, in the show notes so they can go directly to LCI's website and grab that information.
Now, great.
Tara, it's Friday afternoon. Don't want to tie you up too much, but before I let you go, where can people find out more about you? What activities or events are you going to be involved with or at? Or what's LCE going to be at in the near future?
I would say for me, LinkedIn. Now, I'm not the best. Okay, at LinkedIn, I have a 3-year-old and it's crazy. So I'm not as good as I should be, but I am there. I'm also, you know, James, and we got to get you on the podcast. We do the Asset Reliability at Work podcast. So I definitely, I post and I share stuff there, and I would love to hear from listeners. So please connect with me on LinkedIn. Lifecycle Engineering has a page on LinkedIn. The Institute has a page on LinkedIn. Our website has some events. I am going to be at IMC. Are you going to be at IMC, James?
It's not on the plan yet. I will be at PMAC up here in Canada and then SMRP down in Kansas City at the moment.
I'm not going to go to SMRP this time. I'm going to miss you there, but we will be there, and Lifecycle is going to have a booth there, so you'll have to go by and talk to Dan, you know, because he's going to be there. By the way, listeners, you know, James and Dan and me, we're all tight, so just so you know. Dan is going to be there, and of course, Bill Wilder, you know, the director of the Institute, will be there too. But if any of the listeners are going to be at IMC, I'm going to be speaking. I'm going to be speaking on this topic. I'm going to be speaking on competency building, but I'm actually going to be focusing on e-learning. And so if anybody is interested in learning more about how they can really get their bang for their buck in e-learning and how they can use e-learning to build competency, not just your, you know, if you have to do your safety training online, let's just get this over with type training. I'm talking about building competencies for the strategic roles in your organization, like planning and scheduling, like reliability-centered maintenance. So we're going to have some hot debate and back and forth about that. So if you are going to be at IMC, then come to my session, which I think is like Monday at 11.
Well, if I can make it out there, I will definitely be sitting through that one. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks, James. And thanks for having me on the podcast. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks, Tara. And you know what? You have yourself a great weekend.
Have a good weekend. Talk to you soon.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.